Out of the Gospel of Mark, may we hear Jesus' words this morning and also his actions as he spoke into his disciples' life. Mark chapter 6, we'll start with verse 7 and go to verse 13. And he, being Jesus, called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. A disciple's mission and reward go hand in hand. We are following Jesus. We're not the first to do it. We won't be the last to do it. But it is him and him alone that we take our cues from today. So as we find him interacting with those ones that he just got through calling into ministry, he says, let me tell you, I got a great plan for you. I want you to leave everything you have. I want you to step out in faith. And I've got a few things in store for you in your life. So we're going to be looking at this mission today. I got stuck on the D alliteration, and that's where we're going all the way through this particular passage. It deals with, and we can put them all up at one time, it deals with direction, determination, destination, and ultimately decision. A few years ago, through our youth ministry, there was a wonderful T-shirt. Tom liked the color. It was green. I happened to see it on one of the youth yesterday in Gassaway. Has a big old compass right in the middle of the shirt. And then, is Corinne with me? Yeah, Corinne's here. So the way it goes, I believe, is direction determines your destination. Does that sound right? I said, well, that's pretty good. Direction determines your destination. Now, it didn't have the word decision on the T-shirt, but I said, you know, that'll work too. So, as we're looking at this passage, Jesus gave his disciples a mission. The direction was this: I want you to go. I'm not going to tell you exactly where. You're not going to have the full itinerary, but I want you to go. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out how? How are they supposed to go? Two by two, just like going back to the ark, right? Except if you were a clean animal, then there were seven. But that's okay. That's another story. Anyway, so they're going to go out two by two, and they go out with something. And we'll get to the clothes part in a minute. But what are they going to go out with in verse number 7? It's a beautiful word. Power is a great word. We're going to get to the staff. You're one step ahead of us. That's right. Power. Or anybody else got another word there? Authority. Authority, whichever you want to use. His direction involved going with somebody else and with power. There's your directions. Now let's see where the determination comes in. The determination takes on a different look. He's telling them what not to take with them. Now, if we're bringing in Matthew's account of this and Luke's account of this, it'll be a very interesting look at this particular passage. One says, don't bring a staff. One says to bring a staff. One of them says, don't wear sandals. What's Mark tell you? You're going to have sandals. How many tunics are we going to have with us? Yeah, he says, don't take two. And I think the point of all of this, whether you're looking at it from Matthew's point of view or Mark's or Luke's, is whatever you've got on you, that's what you're going to take. You don't have time to go and buy something else for this journey. there is an immediacy that is a part of Jesus' command. And I'm not going to say that Mark was right and Matthew was wrong. It really has to do with how you look at the verb tense in Greek. And I'm not the Greek scholar, so we're going to leave that to them. And we're going to leave it to the fact that I hear Jesus saying, be determined to be ready. And I don't care how much you have to take with you. In fact, I don't want to weigh you down. There are some things he specifically says don't take with them, right? So we got a few no's here. No bread. No bag. No money. Well, then I must be ready to go. Good. All right. I'm ready. I'm prepared. I got no bread. I got no bag. I got no money on me right now. I don't think I have a single cent on me. No, I'm awful about that. I didn't even eat a donut this morning. So I got no bread. And I don't even have my purse. Yeah. So I don't even have a bag with me right now. So I'm set. But be determined that when Jesus calls, you think, well, wait a minute, I've got to get prepared for this. And this goes against Jim Steele and his Boy Scout motto. You know, we need to be prepared. We certainly do, but we need to be ready when he speaks. And we are determined then to step forward in whatever mission he has in store for us next. Because here's where the mission, the determination puts us. Or at least that's where they put the apostles back then, the disciples. In verses 10 and 11, we see the destination. They haven't arrived there yet, but he's talking them through it. You ever do this before you get ready to go somewhere? Or you do this with your children? Now we're gonna talk through what we're going to do. Corrine had a little assignment for us when we came home last night from the 4th of July picnic. It was to clean the porch. Now, we didn't do this just haphazardly. Allison started. That was great. I took a little nap, and so I was a little late to the party. So she had started, but Corrine had the plan. And we got to get everything off the porch. We're putting the stuff away where it needs to go. I mean, you know, we didn't just say, we're going to clean the porch. We had a plan, right? So before we even did that, we talked it through. That's what Jesus is doing. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. If any place will not receive you, will not listen to you when you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. He says, I'm going to send you out. I got a mission for you. You're already prepared whether you know it or not. Whether you got your sandals or not, whether you got your staff, take them with you if you got them. That's fine. That'll be enough because along the way there will be provision. But I also want to warn you that every house that you enter may not receive you as you would like. Now we can focus on that part. We can say, well, my land, he's just setting them up for failure. He's setting them up for disappointment and heartbreak. But hear the first part. There will be houses that will receive you. There are people out there that will take you in because you are sharing a message that is worth listening to. And so that's the part of this mission about the destination. It may involve talking with people that get it, and it may involve talking with people that just don't. And you are not to curse them. You are not to speak words of hatred into their life because they didn't receive what you were trying to say. You can do a gesture. You know, I don't know. You ever picture how the shaking off the dust of the feet really go? I mean, do you do that in some grand display so that that person at the house knows for a fact that they know of your animosity? I don't ever picture that's what Jesus had in mind. He's just saying, don't let that one example shape all the rest of what you're going to do. Don't let it weigh you down. That's what sand would do. That's what our baggage does. When I'm done, you know, Foster was out there with us helping park cars at the fireworks display on Friday night. And when we got done with that whole deal, I was a little tired. You know, I mean, it was fun, but it was time to just sort of kick back and relax. And I was ready to shake some dust off my feet. I did 35,000 steps on Friday, Tom Daddysman, Pete. And the reason why, you know, all the activity that we did down at the fairgrounds, which was great. I got a little ahead of them that day when we were doing our step counting comparison there, but that's all right. I was ready to shake the dust off my feet when I settled in that evening. And it wasn't because I was mad or upset that everybody who you, did everybody give you a donation? That, you know, there were a lot of folks that drove into the fireworks and they were well within their right not to donate to Code Blue Youth Alliance. No one made them do that. We had a nice little flyer that told them about the fireworks and what we were collecting for. But just because they didn't donate didn't mean that we kicked their tires on the way out, right? I mean, that's not the deal. The deal is that our destination is one where God sends us. And we are to be graciously received when we can. And in those circumstances that we cannot, it is our obligation then to move on and not to dwell upon that. Let me tell you right here and right now, there is too much hate going on in our country today. And we do not have time for that as we're on this journey with Jesus. It ultimately leads us to the decision. It's the part where Jesus, this is Mark's report back to what happened on the mission. This was the decision that they led through, and it was the result. As they went out, they proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Do any of your translations say all instead of many in verse 13? Anybody got an all there? I don't think you're going to find it. I don't think you're going to find it in any translation. I hope. Anybody say all? Okay, good. Great. All right. We'll throw that one out if it is. All right. No. So when we go forward, you know, sometimes we get this idea that it is our job to carry the entire load of the world on our shoulders and our shoulders alone. But the report is that as they went out in Jesus' name, they were able to do amazing things. And there were many who were troubled by forces that could not be seen. There were situations going on in people's lives that could not be explained by natural causes. And they were able to speak healing and wholeness into those lives. There was an anointing of oil. It was an outward sign of God's healing mercies to come on and to bring wholeness back to individuals. I'm so glad that Angel McCullough Stahl has reminded me of what the Bible tells us. I don't know if you've seen her come forward before and she asked for prayer, but she says, "Can I also be anointed with oil?" Where does she get that notion? Is it some harebrained idea that comes from some outlandish place? It comes directly from what they did as they saw the power of God and His ability to heal. And I am so glad that they continued to preach the good news, that none of us are headed in the right direction on our own. That it is not about an us and a them mentality. But they found themselves on a whole different journey before Jesus came in, and now they want to proclaim this new path and allow others to join them in the about face of their life and in their walk. So along with the mission, we see it lived out, not only in the disciples' lives, but we see it lived out in ours. I also then wanted to fast forward a few years, a few decades, a few millennia, and to look now at 1 Peter chapter 1. Because not only is it about our mission, but it's also about our reward. The reward that we get not because of what we have done, not because of our own merit and look at me, I have finally arrived, but because of the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 gives us these points. It's a reward of a living hope, as he mentions in verse 3. It is a reward of an untouchable inheritance, as it comes out in verse 4. And then he goes on to show you what that inheritance looks like. Let me give you some characteristics of this inheritance. It's unending, or I think most translations put it as imperishable. It's undefiled, and it's unfading. So here's this picture. We're on a mission for the Lord, but what is the end result? Well, it's not just about the reward later on, and it's certainly that as we speak in terms of verse 4, but let's not miss the part of it being a living hope today. Our reward is that we do not wake up tomorrow morning by ourselves, that we are not left on this orb of a planet with almost 7 billion other people saying, I'm not even sure why I'm here. We wake up with a living hope that connects us with the God of the universe that says, you have a mission, your direction is determined, and it gives you a destination. It involves a decision on your part to be a part of this plan, but it is a living hope. And if there's something that we've seen down through the centuries of time, hope can be ripped out of people's lives. We think of Debbie Molnix this morning, Pastor Howard Swick's daughter, Hannah, who is also in the Philippines. There was a 6.1 rated earthquake not far from where Hannah is in the Philippines. I'm not sure where that is in proximity to Debbie, but Philippines is not a huge place, so wherever the earthquake was over this past week, we know that it had devastating effects on those that were within the proximity of that. Absolutely, disasters occur. Personal disasters happen. But in the midst of all that, can we hold to the fact that there is a living hope? And that ultimately our inheritance is not what we gather in this world. There's not been a single hearse that has a bank vault being pulled behind it that would do the person in the hearses any good. It doesn't help. It has no lasting value. What we accumulate here as far as tangible things. But to know that our inheritance is imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading. Our reward is connected to the fact that we get to be in the Lord's presence forever. And that forever starts now. That forever starts as we care for our neighbors. That forever starts as we share God's word. 6 a.m. in the morning, I'm picking up the 18 amazing glazed donuts that we have every single Sunday. I will add that I haven't had those for about 3 years now. I'm not sure why I still pick them up every Sunday, but I'm glad you all are enjoying them, and it's awesome. So there's this one lady that she's been preparing those for me now for almost 4 years. She knows I come in every Sunday morning. She said, you know what? She says, my sister and her husband and her little daughter all got baptized. I said, well, that's wonderful. She said, yeah, but I'm never going to be baptized. I said, well, you're not? She said, now me and the man upstairs, we got a good thing going. She said, I just don't see the point. And then she says, do you? I said, well, I know that Jesus will love you whether you get baptized or not. This is not about your salvation. But Jesus made the example for us. And I said, I wanted to be baptized because Jesus was baptized. And it's a great symbol of how I'm getting out of my old life and I'm going to do a life for him. So then she says, January 14th. She says, that's when I want to be baptized. She says, and I want to do it right here in the Tigert River. I said, all right, I'll put it on my... She says, you mean you'd go out in the middle of a snowstorm? I said, I don't care when you get baptized. It doesn't matter to me. I've not heard a single person die of hypothermia in a baptism. Now, we might make news with that, but that's all right. I don't know. I just know that Gerald Fogg has already set the precedent. Just 13 days before that, how many years now, Gerald? About 5 years, and he's not died yet, dipping in the water in the Tigard on January 1st. So I said, you know, that's not, and I don't know if she was just waiting for me not to want to be. I said, I'm there. So I said, I'm putting it on my calendar. She says, well, I might want to wait 2 more years when I'm 40. I said, no. January 14th. We're going to, anybody know what, got a calendar? January 14th, 2016. Who's got it? Tell us what day of the week it is. She says, can we do it in the afternoon? I said, absolutely, we'll do it. That'd be great with me if you did it in the afternoon. I'm thinking, the sun's going to be out just a little bit more, right? You know, in the afternoon. I don't care where you are or where God has an opportunity for you to share his good news. Let's do it. And it doesn't have to always be in his house. We are on a mission for him. There is a reward that goes far beyond anything that we can accumulate here, this side of eternity. And I am glad we get to recognize that even this morning as we sit at the table. Anybody got a day of the week for me yet? Thursday? That 2016, not 2015. Thursday. All right. Well, we've got a date. January 14th, 2016. My prayer is that we are at the Tigard River. Now, Tom, you've been through the Tigard. Wesley, you survived, right? Margaret here today? She was right there, too. So it's okay. We have to continue this journey together. And they're all about steps of faith toward him. Wherever we find ourselves, the goal is just to be closer the next time we gather. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are thankful for this mission you have called us on, for us to recognize a reward, the reward that includes a living hope today and an untouchable inheritance for all eternity. I am so thankful that as I look out today, I see missionary after missionary sitting in these pews. That there are folks that will be in contact with individuals that are on the brink of despair. You will have us encounter folks that see no other place of hope. And Lord, allow us to be your hope dispensers. To share your good news, to never shirk away from the fact that we all are filled with character defects. We all have sin that has been in our life. We all continue to struggle with temptations that bring their ugly heads right to our very face. And that we then get to look to you for our strength and our guidance. And our purpose. And as we prepare to receive the elements of communion today, we thank you that it also is a time of remembrance, a time of thanksgiving, and ultimately a time of celebration to see what you have done and are continuing to do in our lives today. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.